Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Tuesday, May 17th, 2016. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I am swell. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. Also, John Martellaro, how are you?
I am good. Pleasure to be here.
Excellent. I'm glad both of you were here. And I'm also glad that Casper is our sponsor today. They make the awesome mattresses that help me sleep better. I'll talk about them soon. But before we do that, I thought that we should offer up our take on iTunes 12.4, because this is the update to iTunes that a lot of people have been really looking forward to, because Apple was promising some interface changes. And I'm really curious to hear what your first impressions are.
Well, it's sort of like being tortured. When the torturer switches tools and it doesn't hurt as much, you go, wow, this is great. I'm feeling better already.
Wow.
Wow. Tell us how you really feel, John Martellaro.
I tweeted last night that I'm pleased with what Apple's done. Of course, it's still Apple's worst piece of software because of the gotchas and the error handling and possibilities for going wrong and certain levels of confusion departure from the purest approach of days past. But what's glorious about this is that Apple listened. Of course, every writer on the internet for the last 6 months has been talking about how iTunes is sometimes said to be Apple's most hated software. It has been a confusing mess, and it kind of drifted out of being charming and wonderful. One reader sent me a tweet and said, you know, in the old days, iTunes was the gateway. iTunes and iPod were the gateway into Apple. You bought an iPod, you fired up iTunes, and you had this wonderful music collection, and everything was great. And then over the years, the things kind of changed. iTunes 12.4, I played with it last night, fixes things up quite a bit. It's no longer Apple's worst software. It's just merely the worst software with great improvements, sort of like seven steps backward and then wonderful two steps forward. So the good news is Apple's listened. Apple's cleaned up the interface a bit, taken away some of the myriad of different ways of doing the same thing, brought better controls back to the LCD bar, did some other small things to simplify and ease the use. And now it's more coherent, more direct, and I like it.
You know, I've always been a sidebar fan. And so every time Apple would take the sidebar away, I'd immediately go digging through the settings to figure out how to put it back. So seeing it as a persistent sidebar now for our music library does make me very happy.
Yeah, me too.
Well, and it's not a persistent sidebar. I mean, you can make it go away, and I honestly don't know if the sidebar is there or gone by default anymore. My guess is it's still gone by default. Is that correct?
Well, before, if you were in the mode where you had just My Music, your sidebar went away.
Right. Yeah, that part was confusing, right? Because we had one more option in the music section. We had My Music and we had Playlists. And Playlist was the mode that I lived in because I had my sidebar.
Yep, me too.
And every now and then I would either click on My Music or I would be brought to that view because I, you know, contextually said go to this song or something, and it would bring me there. And I had the two things, Playlist and My Music, configured the same, but for the lack of a sidebar in My Music. And other than that one difference, which I didn't want anyway, I never saw why we needed those two separate sections anyway. I think it was sort of an evolutionary path that we wound up with these two, and so, you know, consolidating them into one makes perfect sense. I honestly don't notice a huge difference in using iTunes. But there is that, you know, one less pitfall that I have to avoid. The drop-down menu that they changed, that's fine. I don't know that I have a religion on drop-downs versus icons. I'm glad they left.
A lot of people didn't like those three dots. they wanted to, you know, that would just kind of left people hanging.
Yeah, making it more descriptive does seem like a smart move.
Yeah. I like that the device syncing is still a separate icon. I mean, I think I'm not a big fan of the idea of breaking up iTunes into several different apps, but I am a big fan of the idea of breaking up iTunes into at least one separate app, and that app being the syncing app. So having that treat a little bit differently makes sense to me.
I'm with you on that, Dave.
And here's what's interesting. If you go into that syncing section, so you hit the little icon for the phone and choose either your phone or your iPad or whatever it is, the drop-down menu goes away. You can no longer choose to go back to music from here. You do whatever you're doing, and there's a new done button down in the lower right corner that says, okay, I'm done messing with this, and it brings you back to the normal iTunes view. So really feels like we're prepping for this to be a truly separate app experience, which is good. I like it. It minimizes that confusion because you used to have two sidebars there, and it didn't make sense. And yeah.
Yep. So, Dave, do you think this is a big step along the way to a complete iTunes redesign?
I don't know. It's a step to resolve some UI issues with iTunes. That's all it is, right? Are we going to see a grand iTunes redesign? I don't think so. I think we might see like this part carved off with the devices, but I realize that fits with my desired path, but I don't see Apple redesigning iTunes. I really don't.
I'm kind of with you, Dave. I hope for the best, but fear the worst. That this is a cleanup, and I like the idea of a single app that does the sync. But as far as a radical redesign, visually, you know, the question is are these tweaks in 12.4 enough to keep people from being bitter? And I think they are. And maybe that's all they need to do for now.
I think a lot of people are going to remain bitter. There's a lot of people that are really, really upset with iTunes.
Could be emotional inertia.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And while I'm really glad to see the sidebar, I think there's a lot of people that are going to look at this and they're going to wail and gnash teeth because this isn't the radical change they want Apple to make.
Baby steps.
Yeah.
Maybe it's enough until something better comes along. Maybe at WWDC we'll see what the real target is.
Yeah, maybe. Now, okay, so personal preference for the sidebar. I like that it's there when I'm looking at my personal library content. It doesn't bother me that it goes away when I'm looking at streaming content or the iTunes store. What do you guys think?
To me, it makes sense that it goes away when I'm looking at the iTunes store. I would never have wanted it there. That would be confusing.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dave.
Okay. I was looking for a little validation and totally got it.
One of the things that pleases me greatly about iTunes 12.4 is the view options. Before, there was a pop-up on the top right, and it was in black and white, and it was kind of hard to find and hard to use. Right now, if you hit Command-J or go to the menu and say Show View Options under View, you'll see a glorious pop-up box with blue check marks, and you get to define what will be displayed in the list. And that's harking back to the kind of neat user interface we had in iTunes 10, 11, somewhere in that range. So that's back, and I love that. That was one of my biggest complaints when I wrote my review of it the first time around when iTunes 12 came out. So do a Command-J or Show View Options, and you'll see a glorious matrix of checkboxes that you can define what's going to be displayed.
Nice.
It's nice.
Nice. All right. Well, listeners, I'm curious, what do you think? Is iTunes 12.4 a welcome update, or are you still disappointed? Let me know on Twitter. That would be @TMODaily. Via email, that would be observations@macobserver.com. And of course, you can also leave comments in the show notes. I check all those places because I love to hear what you guys have to say. And
I have one request I'd like to put in, if okay. I could, being a listener of the show. I'm not going to write it in, though. I'm just going to say it here. A link between the store and Apple Music, the iTunes store and Apple Music, because sometimes I go to the store and they surface new albums. I'm not going to say their discovery is great, but they do some things to allow me to discover stuff. Mm-hmm. And when I find a new album there, it offers to sell it to me. But if I were to move over to the new tab and search for the same thing, I can find it and play it right there because I'm an Apple Music subscriber. Mm-hmm. The two don't talk to each other, and they should.
Huh. Yeah, they should. Yeah, all right.
It should say, hey, you're an Apple Music subscriber. You can listen to this right now. Or also, hey, you're not an Apple Music subscriber. So instead of buying this record for $10.99, sign up for Apple Music and listen to it right now.
I like that.
Yeah.
And as you say it, I'm shocked it's not there. That just seems like an absolutely essential element.
Yes.
All right, 12.4.1.
Yeah.
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 Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Casper, which I'm pretty excited about because my sleep has always been an issue, but it got so much better once I got a Casper mattress. They make mattresses that are really comfortable, and as someone that has spent far too many hours laying awake in a mattress so you can actually really tell how it feels, I know what I'm talking about. The mattresses they make, they're these, I call them foam sandwiches, because they pick different types of foam and put them together in the right way so that you get the right support, but you also get the right amount of flexibility in the mattress. So you can lay in it comfortably, but you're not going to sink, and you're not going to feel like you're on a board, and you're not going to feel too hot. It's like they actually get how people want to sleep. It's really awesome. The amount of attention they put into the details, like the stitching and the seams. And yeah, these are things that I actually look at. I get out magnifying glasses and look at seams. And some people may say I'm kind of weird for doing that, but I have really good backpacks and I have really good mattresses because I look at those little details. And I was not disappointed at all when I checked out what Casper does to put their beds together. They're just the best. And they don't cost nearly as much as you would think. I got a queen-size mattress, and that's an $850 mattress from Casper. But from anyone else, I mean, you could pay $1,000 for the same thing. And or something that's at least comparable, because I haven't found any mattresses that are really the same as what Casper offers. So they sell you really good products at really good price, and you don't even have to leave your house to get one. They'll have it delivered right to you. So you can go to their website, casper.com/TDO. Go there, casper.com/TDO, use the discount code TDO, and you're going to get $50 off a mattress. So you could get the $850 queen-size mattress that I have for $800. Delivered, no shipping charges. Absolutely awesome. So check it out, because their mattresses really are fantastic. I'm very pleased with mine. Casper.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO and get yourself a new mattress, because you totally deserve it. So thank you, Casper, for being our sponsor. Okay. The other thing I wanted to talk about today was this app that gained a lot of attention yesterday because it got pulled from the App Store. And this is the System and Security Info app. So that's what it's called, System and Security Info. And this app appeared on the App Store for the iPhone and iPad about a week ago. And as it was going through an update review process, it ended up getting bumped from the store. And the developer felt that this was kind of a targeted thing, and that Apple, well, if you're targeted, you're just being singled out. So I was about to be redundant. Anyhow, the real problem that I see is that his app did something that's forbidden by the developer guidelines, which was it displayed a list of running processes. Now, prior to iOS 9, apps could do that. Once iOS 9 came out, apps were not allowed to do that. And he figured out a way to make that happen. So when Apple caught what was going on, they bumped his app from the store. And to me, this looks like just a pretty straightforward case of someone taking advantage of a flaw they found in the operating system and using it in their app in a non-malicious way, and they got caught.
Yeah.
The thing to recognize here is this is not a Unix toy. The phone is based on iOS, which is a derivative of BSD Unix, but we are not Unix system administrators. We don't need to be looking at processes and playing with it as if it were a Unix machine. If you want to do that, then get a Mac and then have at it. And the fact that a developer can go in and access that information and display it just is an open invitation to doing something nefarious down the road. So I'm with Apple on this.
Yeah, I'm not.
Okay.
Well, it's really good for developers to be able to access this information in a variety of ways, right? I mean, instruments on that's part of Xcode. It's important that developers have access to it because they can use this to monitor their own apps during the development process, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's very handy.
Well, I'm all with being able to do that through Xcode in a backdoor kind of way, but not in a shipping app.
Well, but the thing is, up until iOS 9, it used to be possible to display. It used to be allowed. Obviously, it's still possible. Mm. It used to be allowed by Apple to display a process list in your apps. And there were many apps. I have one called System Activity Monitor where this was really handy, and I actually would use it to realize, oh, hey, look, this app, maybe Facebook or something, is chewing up lots of CPU on my phone. Mm-hmm. I should force quit it. And that would actually help me save battery life. Now I have to connect my phone up to Xcode to see that process list and see what's, you know, kind of floating to the top of it.
Yeah, but you're the ultimate geek. Nobody does that.
But wait a minute. Nobody does that is wrong.
I used to check that list all the time for the same reason you did, Dave.
Yeah, the majority of people maybe don't do that. And I get that Apple, you know, wants to preserve the user experience for the majority and probably got sick and tired of people that didn't necessarily understand what they were seeing in these lists, reporting issues to them and coming into the store and all of that. I mean, remember, we went through many, many iterations of iOS where this was totally allowed and totally fine and saw no nefarious purposes served by it. So I mean, we're talking about two different things here, but Apple's decision to remove this from the list of allowed things and add it to the naughty list in iOS 9 doesn't make sense to me, but they did it and they've been very clear about it.
Yes. So I'm guessing they did it because they became aware of a potential security problem.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Talk about.
Yeah. And actually,
I don't see what that problem is, though. I find that kind of a BS answer, to be brutally honest.
Okay, so there's a developer or video from WWDC 2015 where Apple's engineers talk about this, and what they say is that they chose to beef up sandboxing so that apps couldn't query about running processes anymore. And the reason they did that is to stop potentially malicious applications from querying to see what other processes are running on the system.
Fair enough. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that I can see. All right. Yeah. All right. Good. Yeah. But so there's that. But separate from that is the fact that Stefan Esser whined and moaned about this thing being his app being rejected for completely legitimate reasons. I mean, Apple was, we've seen lots of problems with rejection from the App Store where there's inconsistencies and all of that stuff. In this case, Apple was actually following their own guidelines pretty clearly and as they have with this particular guideline. But there's more to this story here, and the more to this story is that Stefan Esser isn't some random developer. Stefan was for a while, one of the sort of premier developers participating in the jailbreak movement. Okay, and really did a lot of work, I don't want to say right at the very beginning of the jailbreak movement, but certainly early on, and was a pioneer in many ways in that way. And mm-hmm. and he's German and works as a security researcher. So, you know, he has good intentions. They don't necessarily line up with what Apple would want people to be doing with their stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
But he's not out to he doesn't have any nefarious purposes in mind, but he's got some notoriety and some popularity because he has been doing this stuff and he knows how to do this stuff. So when he starts moaning about how Apple bounced his app and says it was, you know, a frivolous decision or whatever words he used, that got the echo chamber going about this without people stopping to think, well, wait a minute. You know, I get that you're pissed about this, buddy, but it's kind of okay. Apple's following their rules. You just chose to try to skirt by them, and you did once, and then you didn't the second time when you went for an update. So,
welcome to the App Store.
Welcome to the App Store. And also, this is not the problem with the App Store. this is not an example of the problem with the App Store. There are problems with the App Store, and Apple, I think, is paying attention to that. This is not something Apple or really anyone should be paying attention to in a way that, you know, shines a bad light on Apple, because I don't think Apple did anything wrong here.
I agree with you, Dave. You're right on. Couldn't have said it better.
Yep, I agree. Now, I would absolutely love to have his app on my iPhone, but I didn't get it before it was pulled from the store. Therefore, I just don't have it. That said, I think Apple was totally right to pull it from the store because it was violating their developer guidelines. Plain and simple.
That's it.
That's it. Hey, we're out of time, so we need to wrap up. Dave, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
You're very welcome.
And Casper, thank you for being our sponsor. I love sleeping in my Casper mattress. Since we can't share a bed together, you should get your own Casper, and then it's like we get to sleep together. Go to their website, casper.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO and get yourself $50 off a mattress delivered right to you. No shipping charges. Absolutely wonderful. You're going to love your mattress. I am certain of it. Listeners, thank you for being here. And we will see everyone again tomorrow.